Welcome to the Garden Talk Podcast, where we interview growers from all over the world, both beginners and experts, seeking to learn more about what they know about gardening and how they do things in their garden. What's up, everybody? For you that don't know me, my name is Chris, aka Mr. Grow It, and you're tuned into the Garden Talk Podcast. This is episode number 118. In this episode, I interview Big Daddy Buds. He is a content creator with over 100 videos and 6,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel called The Grow Under the Stairs. And this episode is a little bit different than any of the other episodes on this podcast. We're talking gardening content creation. Although this episode isn't focused on growing plants, I still thought it'd be valuable to hear how gardening content is created, gardening channels he watches, gardening channels he recommends other people to watch, where gardening content will be 5 years from now, and so much more. If you want to see highlights of these podcast episodes, search Garden Talk Clips on YouTube. That is a channel dedicated to short, bite-sized clips of these episodes. I also have a gardening channel where I have over 130 videos showing the plants that I grow. I'll have that channel linked down in the description section below. One of my goals for this podcast is to bring free information about gardening to the general public. That being said, I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's episode who helped make that goal possible. Thanks to AEC Infinity for sponsoring this episode. Check out their CloudRay Gen 2 Oscillated Clip Fan. Their next-gen clip fan has been re-engineered to provide a long-lasting motor and customizable airflow for all stages of your plant's growth cycle. It features 10 speeds and 10 dynamic wind modes to simulate outdoor airflow and links with UIS controllers for Wi-Fi app control. Click the link in the description section below so you can learn more about their CloudRay clip fans, and the discount code MrGrowIt15 works on both Amazon and their website. acinfinity.com. Stash Blend. I've been using Stash Blend for over a year now, and it's awesome. One of the things that I really like is that it saves me money. It's a whole bunch of different inputs in one, so I no longer have to go out there and buy a silica bottle, then a separate seaweed bottle, beneficial bacteria, then a separate one for mycorrhizal fungi. All of that plus more is in this one blend. Go to stashblend.com to learn more about it, and I also have a link down in the YouTube description section below. Mars Hydro. Check out their new AdLight series, UV, IR, and Deep Red supplemental lights. It's said that UV light will increase the production of secondary metabolites, and that it also enhances plants' resistance to pests and diseases. IR light is said to stimulate stem growth and flowering, as well as induce plants to enter their sleep stage quickly. Deep Red light is said to promote flowering and fruit development. Discount code MHADLIGHT works on their website, mars-hydro.com. I'll place a link in the description section below. And we are back. Welcome to the Garden Talk Podcast. Today, I am joined with Big Daddy Buds from The Grow Under the Stairs. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for asking. Why don't we hop right into an introduction? Tell us about you, a little bit about yourself and how you got into gardening.
My name is Big Daddy Buds. You know, I got the channel called The Grow Under the Stairs, of course. And I'm a content creator. Been doing this for about 18 years now. Started on YouTube right along when YouTube started, when there weren't that many people doing it yet, when it was kind of weird to do it. So I made a living off of this, and now I'm trying to do it over here in this side of the garden.
That's awesome, man. This episode is going to be a little bit different. And, you know, when we were first talking about things, usually what we do is we talk about garden, fundamental things that you can do in the garden so the folks that are hearing this can potentially take some of those practices and implement in their garden. You talked about how you potentially wanted to get into content creation, talk about content creation. And at first I was like, I don't know if this is really going to fly, but I thought about it for a little while longer and I'm like, it's gardening content creation. It totally relates to everything this podcast is about. You know, you're in the gardening niche. We can totally get into that in this episode. And I think people will definitely gain some value out of it. It's something different. You said you wanted something different. And so, glad to have you on here.
Yeah, you know what it is? I figured I've seen so much on your channel and so many people that are educated already, that have PhDs, that do this for a living, and have so many different angles to come at when we're talking about this plant, that I just felt, you know, let me bring something different to the table. What I have experienced is my PhD is in content creation, and it has to do with the plant, and it still has to do with how we distribute information about the plant that we love. So I figured, you know, let's bring that to your channel and hopefully give the people a different viewpoint of what it is that we do.
Well said. And I think it's going to open up some eyes too, because there's some things behind the scenes as content creators that we do that like the viewers don't really realize, like how much work gets put into it, how we are so suppressed, and so on and so forth. So we're going to get into all of that today, which is really going to be a fun conversation. But how did it all start for you? How did you get into content creation?
I guess something that content creators all have in common is the need to want to be liked and accepted. And I feel like I had some of that growing up. I also have led a kind of very interesting life. I've done a lot of things that I think are cool. And I've always wanted to share that with other people. So when I was younger, I used to travel a lot. That was what my first channel was about traveling and showing all these experiences that I would have. I used to send all these videos to my friends, you know, like bother them. Like, look what just happened to me. Look at who I just met. Look at this. Look at that. I'm in this hotel. I'm here. And they would get tired of it. They don't really want to be bothered like that. Not everybody's into that type of stuff. So I started uploading the content to YouTube. And people started following. I found an audience. And since then, I've been hooked.
And you started a long time ago, you said. I mean, before we even hopped on here and started recording, you had mentioned 2006 is your first YouTube video, which is a very long time ago. So pretty impressive there. Yeah, I had to look back on mine. 2007 was the first one for me. I uploaded 10 videos in 2007. Definitely not gardening videos, completely unrelated. Me just doing crap with my friends. But it's wild to see like how far it's come, and just thinking back at all the work that was put into it, it's wild.
Right, it's crazy because back then it wasn't cool to be a YouTuber at all. It was actually kind of weird, you know. And there was a very small amount of people that would even put themselves out there. You know, once you put yourself on screen, it's like it's there forever. So back then, even 10,000 views felt like a lot because no one else was doing it. You know. So I remember those times were so weird. I wanted to be on TV. And now look how things have changed. Instead of me wanting to be on TV, it seems like TV people want to be on YouTube. Like movie stars have their own YouTube channel. And this wasn't like this before. It would be kind of weak even for like a famous person to have a YouTube channel back then. So the way that things have shifted has been amazing to me.
Yeah, it's been crazy to have kind of like an open source to where anybody can go in there and upload videos and make an impact, get seen, and so on and so forth, versus back before YouTube, you had to be kind of an actor or some sort of celebrity to get on camera. So it's kind of opened up the floodgates there for anybody to really have an opportunity. So for your particular channel, The Grow Under the Stairs, can you talk to us about that channel, like what it's about, when it got started, your style of content over there, so on and so forth?
Okay, so the reason I started growing at home, the medicinal plant that we all love, was out of fear. I found myself one time, we all have these stories. I found myself in New York needing to buy something because all of my usual people didn't have it anymore. And it was one of those sketchy situations where you're in one of these dark rooms with some people that you don't know. They're all looking at you funny. There are weapons on the table. There's that type of deal. And you're not part of that world. I just want a little something to relax. And I had that situation happen to me. I got scared straight. I came back home and I said, listen, I'm going to have to start growing because it's not worth it to keep doing this. So this was back when it was super illegal and I had to go into New York to do that. So I figured, you know what I mean? If I'm going to take a risk, let me take a risk and start growing at home. From there, I'm a content creator by trade. So it just became part of what I did. I'm like, let me start a channel then. And let me showcase what I'm doing and teach at the same time as I'm learning. And I'm a comedian, so that would be my angle. That's what I could offer different to this community. It's like, let me make it entertaining so that while you're learning, you're also laughing. I feel like that's a nice niche that within the niche that I'm carving out for myself.
And nobody else is really doing that, you know what I mean? You have that unique style of both education and entertainment, humor, that not many people are doing. And one thing I like about your content is that you're showing the plants, right? You're in your garden, you're giving them valuable information, but you're also showing a little bit about your personal life as well. You know, you're showing your cats, you're showing you going out to dinner, you're showing this massive snowman that you saw down the street that broke a record, I think, in Anchorage, Alaska, which you live now. So seeing like all of that together, it's like it's different than everybody. So I think you have some really good content. And you also grow some really good looking plants. You grow some fire. And, you know, another thing I was thinking about before we, you know, as we were planning this is like, okay, if we start talking about content creation, some people are going to want to actually know how you grow your plants. They're going to be disappointed. Like, oh man, I want to know how to grow his plants like him, you know? So maybe we'll do something like that in the future, to where we do talk about, you know, break down your style of growing and stuff like that, because I do have a feeling that some people are going to be like, what the heck? I want to know how he grows fire, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, the videos themselves are about that. I do weekly videos that display weekly what the plants are doing. And I feel like a lot of people have strayed away from that kind of content because, you know, YouTube restricts what they show and who they push if you're showing certain things and saying certain things. But I think it's still important to look at these plants as they develop and tackle these problems that arise on a week-to-week basis, you know. I love the whole from seed to harvest videos, but I feel like there's a lot that gets missed. You know, you're not going to throw in that you sprayed iron for an iron deficiency for one day and it fixed it in a video that's an hour long from seed. You know, you're going to forget. You're not going to forget in a weekly video. So I feel like I'm going to continue doing this, and hopefully people would just learn to have a little bit of patience and come and just look at the plant and learn from it, even if it's like little by little. You know, that's how they grow. It takes time. It takes patience. So that's kind of what I'm offering too.
Yeah, really good point. Anybody could go to your channel, which obviously I have linked down in the YouTube description section below, or if you're on one of the audio platforms, just search for it, The Grow Under the Stairs. Search for it on YouTube. It'll pop right up and you could see his grow, and he has weekly content, and yeah, you can definitely learn from him there.
And to touch about the other thing, when you spoke about sharing my personal life in the videos and everything like that, it's kind of crazy. And I wonder if it's the same for you, since we've been doing this for so long. But when I started, the videos that I was doing were about travel, you know, about my traveling and my experiences. After that, I switched to comedy. You know, I started doing the comedy. After that, I switched to cooking. I was doing cooking. And now I'm here in this gardening space. But all of the stuff that I learned before, I'm able to apply it here. So I am using comedy still. You know what I mean? I'm just mixing everything together. Is it the same for you, where you get to, it's almost like you're acquiring skills in every step of the way, and then you end up here. You just know how to do so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, kind of. Like, I started out doing just dumb videos with my friends, uploading those. And then I was recording prank videos on the strip here in Las Vegas, going there filming hidden camera prank videos. And then, yeah, I guess some of the stuff, I think some of like more like the behind the scenes YouTube stuff, like the titles, descriptions, tags, all that stuff that kind of gets you farther of a reach, that stuff can be applied to this. So yeah, I totally get what you mean by what you've learned before definitely comes over to this same niche because you're still making videos. Yeah, I totally get what you mean by that. And I completely agree. So you're wearing a mask right now, and you wear a mask in all your videos. What made you wear a mask? You need to hide your identity? Are you doing things illegal over there or what? And will your face ever be revealed, or is this always going to be like that?
I am not a crook. Well, you know, there's two reasons for the mask. The first one being, you know, when I started this, it was super illegal where I was at. So I didn't want to get in trouble. As I kept doing the videos, the law started to change in my favor. But then there was the second thing, and that's that I've actually found success before in content creation. So I didn't want to mix the audience that I've already created on another space with this audience, because I already know that audience is not all there when it comes to the medicinal plant that, you know, I like to talk about. But hopefully, as things keep changing, people will be a little bit more accepting, and then I'll be able to take off the mask. But it is something that I'm really close to wanting to do. You know, like it's in my heart. I want to be able to share with the public and, you know, and intermingle with people. And, you know, it's kind of fun when you're in an event and somebody says, hey, you know, I saw your video and everything like that. And I missed that. So hopefully I'll be able to be fresh faced with y'all soon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to see a face reveal. And I get what you mean by, you know, you can be recognized by people and that were watching your old videos, right? Some might not like that regarding the niche that we're in. Also, I actually can totally relate. I had to hide my face when I first started making grow videos because I had an employer, right? I was afraid. I was a manager at Amazon.com. And so, like, I was afraid that my associates were going to be recognizing me. And they'd be like, oh, you grow weed, huh? So hiding identities, I can relate.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. When I first started trying to learn to grow. I was actually watching you guys. So I was watching, pigeons, actually, you know, and that was before he showed his face. That was the OG pigeons. That was the pigeons that I, you know, that I was, that I could relate to. And it's crazy because the reason I was able to figure like the mask out is because I'm like, hey, if he could do it without a face, everything else I have been doing before have been with my face. I've never seen anyone do it like that, you know, like without a face. So I'm like, if he could do it, if they could do it, then I could just, you know, I could do it too. And actually that gave me the courage to start.
That's actually a question I was going to ask you is, where do you get your inspiration from? It seems like part of it was pigeons. Was there anybody else that kind of inspired you?
I'm Mr. Canucks. I definitely watch a lot of his videos, and the fact that it seems like he put so much work into it. You know, there's people that really do, like they go to work on their videos, and to me that's inspiring because it makes me be better. You know, I don't have a problem watching a Hayagan video or a Mr. Canucks video and seeing that their images look so crisp. You know, and trying to adjust my settings so that my stuff looks that crisp. I love to learn from everybody that I'm watching. So inspiration, that's why I want people to continue showing their plants in their videos. I want to invite more creators that are doing this at home to come to this space and normalize it. Not only for the sake of the plant itself, but for the sake of people like me that want to learn. You know, whether it be how to get better shots of the plant. You know, how to get those really close trichome shots that you see on Instagram. You know, like all of these things to me are important or are interesting to watch. And I want and I keep learning it from the people that I keep watching. So the more people we have in this space, the more talent, the better that we're going to continue to be, you know, as far as the video quality. And for me, that's important as a content creator.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. There are thousands of content creators in this niche now. I mean, making gardening videos, right? Who do you watch? I mean, you mentioned pigeons, you mentioned Hayagan, you mentioned Mr. Canucks. Who else do you watch?
I watch a bunch of people, from small creators to the big names. I mean, I made a list. I didn't want to forget nobody, but Howie Grows. I watch Tobacco University, Rosa Green. Like I said, Mr. Canucks, Mr. Homegrow TV. Build the Soil, Bill Ward, you know what I mean? A whole bunch of people. If you make content about the plant, I'm probably trying to learn from you some way or another, like either by watching your videos as far as quality and how you do your thing, or watching how you grow.
So of those content creators, or you could expand it to even beyond that, which ones do you kind of recommend to people? If somebody were to ask you, hey, where can I find good content besides your channel? Who would you say?
I mean, definitely you. You know what I mean? You guys should check out Mr. Grow, you know, check out your Grow series and everything like that. But, you know, I like Mr. Canucks, man. I think he's a person that everybody could appreciate, or in general, you know, like you could appreciate the art. He also grows a lot of fire, and he's not as abrasive as me. I'm in your face. I'm right here. I'm her, you know. He's more like laid back. So are you, which is a better entry point for more people. I think if I were to recommend somebody, I would do either you or Mr. Canucks. I think that's a great way to go.
How about Dakota from Homegrow TV? You ever tuned into any of his videos?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, Homegrow TV. I was telling him the other day, like I can't believe the amount of work that you put in your videos, man. Like that's another level of work, and I don't. I haven't met him in person. I don't know his personality if it's the same as in the videos. But when I watch stuff like that, it makes me want to grab the dude and ask him a whole bunch of questions related to how his day goes and how he plans these things. Because he's really, really, you know, his work speaks for itself. It's one of those. I would definitely also show that. I love watching his work as well, yeah. Basement Grow Show is another one that's really, really funny. I think he's the funniest dude on Instagram, I'm not gonna lie. So, you know, I sometimes I'm like, man, I need to do this kind of content too. You know, I want to do this. This is very exciting stuff. This is very fun, short, to the point kind of jokes. So I would recommend for jokes, man, Basement Grow Show on Instagram. That's right at the top of the list for me.
Yeah, Grower Joe's funny. He's so funny. I met him in person. I met Dakota in person. He is the nicest person. Both of those guys are extremely nice. But Dakota is just, he's just so humble and like, he's just so appreciative, you know, and I give him feedback. Hey, dude, your viewers are awesome. Totally next level. If anybody hasn't tuned into Homegrow TV on YouTube, search for it and check out his videos, because that's like the number one guy right now who's really pushing it to the next level when it comes to video production, storytelling, educating the viewer, so on and so forth. So I can't speak highly enough about him. He's a great, great dude. Another one I would personally recommend is Bill DeSoil. I know you mentioned him.
Right.
But as far as organic gardening, definitely the education is there. If you want to learn how to grow organically, Bill DeSoil by far is probably one of the best, if not the best channels out there for sure.
But this is, you know, like I like to categorize some of these into different categories, you know, into different places. Like some of these I only watch for entertainment purposes. Build the Soil is one where you're going to school. So, you know, to be honest, I don't know if that would be the first place I would send you if you don't know what you're doing at all. You know, I feel like he speaks about a lot of advanced stuff and a lot of things that people, you know, I feel like you got to have your foot in already, maybe, to check out Build the Soil. You know what I mean?
I totally get what you mean, yeah. I completely agree with you. There are things that Bare Bones Beginner walks in there and starts listening to him talk. Things might go over his head left.
They're
and
walking right out.
Yeah. Forget this. I'm sticking to my bottles, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree. There are different categories, you know, that's humor, there's education, there's things that's just entertainment, there's talking head videos, there's people that show plants, people that don't show plants. You've actually been pretty vocal that you had some concerns about,
yeah.
Say, the current state of content creation, you know, people showing plants, people not showing plants. Can you kind of expand on that?
Yeah, you know, YouTube is kind of not clear on as far as like the rules when it comes to what we're doing, because it says that we're okay. It says that we're okay to say it. It says that we're okay to show certain things, you know, but then it doesn't act like it's okay. So my problem is when us as creators stop showing the plant, we're also saying it's not okay. We're it's like I feel like we're agreeing by doing it. So in my opinion, I feel like if it is okay, then let's treat it like it's okay and let's show it like it's okay. Let's talk about it like it's okay instead of doing the opposite, you know. That, and it's not as interesting for me to hear people just talk about something that I love to see. Part of the reason I wake up every day is to see the changes in the plant. I actually enjoy that. That gives me energy. I'm able to record the videos because that same excitement that I feel, I'm able to capture it. You know, it's easy to go there and like, oh my God, look at this plant, and then just put a camera in front of it. That did itself. You know, and when you sit, when you take that, the aspect of the plant away, for me, it takes some of that excitement away as well. So as a fan, I would love to continue seeing plants. As a person that's a proponent of the plant, I would love for people to make it more, to normalize it and act like if it's okay, you know?
Yeah, I understand. And YouTube has changed so much. I mean, back in, you could monetize the content, you know what I mean? You could monetize and actually get paid for your work. A lot of people don't think that, oh, you're just uploading YouTube videos. Why should you get paid for it? It's like, it's work. It's videography.
Yeah.
You know, you're filming, you're editing, you're putting in hours. You know, you're saying that, oh, people making TV shows, they shouldn't get paid. You know, oh, forget the people who film there. Forget the people who do the editing. You know, none of them should get paid. They're just making videos. Well, you could say that about anything. Oh, Uber drivers, they're just driving people around. Why should they get paid?
They're just driving.
It just doesn't make sense.
They're just driving.
Yeah, I don't get when people, oh, you're just making YouTube videos. You shouldn't really get paid for that. Don't worry about getting paid. And so, like, I don't know. I'm kind of against that. I personally, I have a clean channel and a dirty channel now. I have a dirty channel, which I show my plants, because YouTube is very restrictive now. Everything has to be 18 plus. They suppress your videos. You can't monetize it, right? So I don't get paid at all, right? All the time, energy I'm spending on creating those videos, I get nothing in return for it. You know, now luckily I have sponsors who help with, you know, funding my content creation, affiliates, things like that. So that's kind of helping me keep afloat, but I want to get paid for my work. And so kind of having a clean channel where I abide by YouTube's guidelines and still be able to reach an audience and still be able to relay things, tiptoeing around their guidelines in a sense, I think that's a good thing. I want to kind of reach more of an audience and not be suppressed for once and be compensated for my work. So I could kind of see it both ways. I can see why people stopped showing plants, you know, and it makes you put all this energy into it and you get nothing out of it. Okay, well, I'll just sit back and make talking head videos and then I will get paid for it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I understand why everything shifted the way it did, but I'm with you. Like, I really feel like it would be nice if people still made videos about plants and just, yeah, I enjoyed that content as well. So,
and you know, even in the parody that I did, I mentioned specifically that the way that you did it is good. You have a different channel that you show your stuff, and I can't tell people how to run their business. You know, at the end of the day, this is just my opinion, and I'm coming at it from a fan's perspective. I want to see the plant. You know what I mean? I want to put on my YouTube, and I want to see the plant, bro. Like, that's what it comes down to. So I'm going to push for that just for my own personal gains, you know. But I also think it is important to normalize it. You know, I don't want to hide it if it's not something that needs to be hidden, if that's not how you feel. And, you know, like, I'm going to even take it further. You know, we come from the era of where it was really illegal. You know, like, it people really went to jail for this. People were... The only reason we even at the point where we could do these videos is because there are people that gave their freedom for it. There are people that, you know, stood outside and said, I'm going to sell this. I believe in this. I'm going to smoke this. I believe in this outside, even if I'm getting arrested or whatever the consequences are. So now it's like, I'm going to lose my YouTube channel. Like, that's okay, bro. Like, I'm going to take that L if that's what it comes with. At the same time, I have a mask on, so I don't want to pretend that I'm still not risking anything, you know what I mean? So I feel like my channel could be the sacrificial lamb if it needs to be, in my case, because I saw so many other people risk so much more.
Got to keep fighting the fight, you know. But yeah, it is tough that YouTube is really suppressing people. I mean, I actually had another content creator hit me up this morning. He's like, dude, I received a strike. What do I do? And I'm like, what do you think you received a strike for? And he's like, I think it's because I promoted Grove Bags. And I'm like, what? Thinking in my head, what, Grove Bags? And he sent me a clip of his video and he's promoting Grove Bags. He has the website for Grove Bags. He's got his discount code and he's showing the Grove Bags empty and then he's showing them with buds in it. So YouTube probably thinks that, hey, you want to buy these bags? See the bag with buds in it.
Actual full
boom,
thing.
Strike. So they think that, hey, he's directing them to where they can purchase it. And that's where YouTube has a huge no-no. You can't link to anywhere you can purchase it. Also with the seeds as well, you can't link to anywhere where you can purchase those. I know a lot of people shy away from even talking about it because I think you can get strikes for that. I don't really know. YouTube's so unclear, and you kind of touch upon this. It's like we're walking on a tightrope. We don't know which way to go, in a sense, how to kind of balance things out. It's tough.
Right. So because of these things, like look at that right there. He says he thinks it's because of the growth backs. Like, we don't know. It's not even that clear. So that's part of the problem. So because of that, I also understand when people do choose to just do talking head videos and you know, find different ways around it. Because like you said, you know, these videos take a long time to do. We do put a lot of work into it. And not only that, man, like, these videos stay on our minds the whole time we're working on them. You know, it might look like I'm only editing for 2 hours today, but I'm thinking of the storyline the whole day. Like, it's burning me. It's burning me down to ashes. So I understand when people change the way they do things because they need to get paid. They need to make a living off of this. So it's no knock to them. I'm just, again, as a fan and as somebody that enjoys the plant, that's why I wake up. I want to see it. I want you to show it, baby.
That makes sense. This next question, it kind of relates to what we were just talking about, I think, is like, you know, the fact that lots of YouTube content creators that are filming their plants, they start a channel, then they disappear within the first year or two because either the video gets no traction, YouTube suppresses them, they get strikes, so on and so forth. What keeps you going?
You know, I'm a fan of the videos themselves at the end of the day. it's kind of weird, and I don't know if I'm gonna explain this well, but I know I'm doing the videos. I sit there, I edit, I record, I'm thinking, I'm burning my brain, I'm whatever. But once the video is done and it's on the TV and I'm playing it on YouTube or whatever, I'm a fan of that video. Like I am, I become a different person. It becomes magic to me. I don't know how I made it. I was there the whole time, but I don't know how that came out. It makes sense. What I'm watching makes sense in its own, apart from me. So that is like a high that I need in general. I need to get that video. I need it for myself. That's the main thing. I enjoy what I'm doing. The second thing is the response from the public. I'm able to see, you know, as a YouTube, you can go to YouTube and check your analytics. I love the fact that I made a video that's 12 minutes long and I got 70% retention. 70% of people that started watching that video ended that video. To me, I feel like, it feels like this to me. It's like, man, you guys like what I like. We just connected. You laughed probably like I laughed when I watched it. My jokes hit. You know, you enjoyed the plan like I enjoyed it. Just talking about it gets me. This is where I come from. You know, like this is my video right here. Like this energy, that's what keeps me going.
And the actual creation process certainly gets you fired up as well. You put so much into your videos. I can tell just by watching it. Me being a content creator, I'm like looking, I'm watching your videos. I'm like, man, this must have taken him 10 plus hours per video. I mean, the amount of effects, transitions, overlays, you're doing skits in there, all that stuff, the filming part of it. How long does it take you to film a video, edit a video? Like, what's that process look like for you?
It feels like the whole week. You know, it feels like a working week, even though it's not 40 hours. Because it's in my head the whole week, it feels, you know, it feels like the whole week. But I'll give you an example. The narration part of it, which is the last thing I do, to record a 12-minute, it takes me about 1 hour to record 2 to 3 minutes of audio. So if that's just what it works out to. And so that'll give you like an idea of how much effort goes into one of these things. So I'm sitting there for hours trying to just come up with silly things to say, you know? And the rest of the video is sort of as it happens. I record things as they happen, as I need to do them. So this week I need to water, change the reservoir. I record when that is going on. You know, I don't try to make anything happen. I don't try to change anything. It's more like I want to take notes of what I'm doing.
Are there specific topics that you feel like are kind of more popular than others?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So the how-to, this is, listen, if you guys are starting a channel, how-to videos are going to get you everywhere. You know, how to maximize yields, those type of videos. You know, those are going to get you very far, but you have to know what you're talking about. I think that's important. A lot of people just regurgitate the same information and they just want to do it because it gets a lot of views and they end up putting the same wrong information. Don't do that. You know, if you want to, in my opinion, if you're going to do a how-to video, make sure you is from experience. I think it's always, it comes out better, bro.
Yeah, I remember I've had so many of those videos pop off. I think I did a podcast episode, How to Grow Dense Buds, and that thing got like, you know, like 300,000-400,000 views. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, the how-to video is definitely...
It was your most popular one.
I think that was the most popular one. Let me look it up. Yep, 579,000 views.
Wow, that's crazy. So actually, can I ask you something real quick on a personal note? Yeah. What is it like going outside for you? Do you get recognized a lot? Because at this point, you are like a thing, you know. How does that look like for you?
Oh, man, I'm just a small home grower, you know. I grow six small plants.
No, tell me the truth. Like, when you know, what is it? What does it feel like? Do you actually feel it when you go outside, or is it something that stays on the internet?
No, I mean, I've gotten recognized a handful of times. I got recognized at a Raiders game one time, randomly. There was this guy sitting next to me, and he's like looking at me all weird and stuff, and finally he asked me. If
like, is it you?
Yeah, finally. And he was like super pumped and stuff, super cool. I was out to eat with my fiance and her family one time, a pretty nice restaurant too. And I'm in the bathroom and some guy's like, hey, how you doing today? And he worked there. He was a cook. I'm like, pretty good. And then you just hear my voice. He's like, do I know you from somewhere? Like, oh, I don't think so. And then like later on, he came back out when I was sitting down with the family. He's like, oh, I do know you. You're from YouTube and stuff. It's like, oh, great.
How did you feel, man? Did that feel like cool or were you embarrassed?
I mean, it's just a little different, you know, when you're in front of family. No, luckily, my fiance's family is very accepting. Very accepting.
Okay, yeah, because that could also go south, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, very accepting. So that was fine. A little bit embarrassing to just be recognized in front of family and stuff. But for the most part, everything's super cool. I mean, when I went to MJ BizCon, recognized probably about, you know, a dozen times, two dozen times. But that's an event for that, you know?
For the thing itself, right?
Yeah. But no, I mean, for the most part, I don't really care to be recognized and stuff. And if somebody does recognize me and comes up to me and says, what's up? That's cool. Like, let's have a conversation about growing, where I said in a recent podcast, it's kind of a rare breed in a sense. Like, there's not many people really in the grand scheme of things in like the world that actually grow this plant. So like, we got something in common. Like, let's hang out and talk, you know? So.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cool. I think it's one of the most enjoyable parts of the situation is connecting with the person. So it's cool when you connect on the internet, and in person is even cooler.
Absolutely. So we talked about like hot topics, things that are kind of popular. What about cold topics that people kind of don't seem interested in these days?
Well, if you want the exact titles for the cold topics, you just go to my page and check out all the titles that I have. But, you know, yeah, I think it used to be when I started watching, it used to be week by week. That used to be what people did. Week one, a flower. Week two, a flower. And again, I guess those topics have died down. And now it's more like the seed to harvest situation, which is more popular. But I still, like I said, I still enjoy the week to week. But those are the topics that, like, week number one, a flower. Number two, number three. You're not going to get much traction if those are your titles. You're going to get a very specific amount of people that are looking for that specific information, and that's it.
Yeah, me personally, I feel like things in veg, like the vegetation stage, nobody really clicks on those videos as much as flower stage, right? And we know it's all about the title and thumbnail to whether or not the person clicks. Whether or not they watch is a whole different story, but to get that initial click, which is what shows up as a view on YouTube, showing a flowering plant, you're going to get a lot more clicks than you would just showing a veg planter. Or even a seedling plant. Although some seedling videos do pretty good. Like if you say like week one video, you typically does pretty good for me. You know, week one seedling or just starting a new grow. You know, people want to start from the beginning. And so those videos do pretty good. But the veg videos haven't been doing good for me. Flower videos do a lot better. The seed to harvest videos, like you mentioned, do really, really well where people can see everything, you know, from seed all the way to harvest. So yeah, there are definitely some cold topics. I'm trying to think of other cold topics. I think like unboxing videos are cold now. Like nobody really clicks on those.
Yeah, it might be too saturated. And you know, I think you guys spoke on this, but the light technology seems to have slowed down as far as like how fast it was moving. So it feels like now you're kind of getting the same light over and over again. So now where I used to watch channels, and I didn't mention them because of this, that used to just review lights. Now I'm not watching that anymore because this seems like it's the same. We maybe reached a little ceiling for it. So perhaps that's why unboxing videos have also maybe fell to this because the equipment doesn't seem to be advancing as fast as it was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, it's the lighting technology just in the past year in particular has kind of gotten a little boring. All these companies are releasing the same diodes and not really doing much as far as upgrades. And
it's good on price. It's good. It feels like the pricing is now getting better because everybody has the same components. But so that's good. But as far as, unboxing and the excitement of a new toy, you know, that excitement is not there right now for me.
Do you think it's still worth it to create beginner type content on like basic topics, like how to germinate, how to train plants, how to set up a grow tent, when there are like a countless number of other of these types of videos on YouTube already?
You know, it's like saying, you know, the same reason why movies keep getting remade. It's a new generation. There's new people being born every day. So, you know, I think there is a space for, let's say, even somebody that's watching this video right now that's thinking about joining YouTube and thinking, what can I contribute? What you got to contribute is your voice and your style, the way that you're going to say that information to others. So I think it is important to still make those videos in your way, because there might be a person that specifically learns the way that you teach. So it's your duty to do that for that person. And not only that, but if you're a content creator, then you're moving off of energy, of excitement. I'm very excited every time I set up a new tent. I'm very excited every time I plant a new seed, because I don't know what it's going to be. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Why not record that and share that every time? I do it every time.
Yeah, you make a good point there, for sure. And especially as legalization sweeps across the nation here, it's like more and more people are new, you know? It's more and more people are coming on board. So having these basic beginner type videos is valuable. And I think with YouTube, the ranking comes into play, like, you know, how old the video is. Now, some old videos certainly are still going to show up on the ranking when you search for them, but newer videos could potentially show up newer on the ranking. So, yeah, no, you bring up a good point.
Yeah, and you should always be looking for new content. You know, even if it's the same thing again, you're doing it again. It's new. You know, it's a new day. You might do it a little different. Maybe you're using a different kind of peapod than you used before. You know, like anything that's different could be beneficial to somebody watching, to a beginner. Just like you said, with legalization just about to, well, it keeps getting better for everybody. I'm not going to say it's going to federally be legal, because that just keeps taking forever. But every day you get new people that are interested. So be there for those people, just like somebody was there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. We've been talking a lot about YouTube and YouTube videos. I mean, that's where, you know, me and you are kind of our passion. That's where our focus is on. But there are other communities on other platforms, right? What are your thoughts on gardening content on the other platforms like Reddit, Facebook, Instagram, so on and so forth?
Man, you know, I haven't had the best of luck on other platforms. I just joined X. I just followed you over there. So I heard that X is actually very friendly to creators on our side. So, you know, I got the verified badge and let's see if that's a fact. So I'm excited for that. Instagram has been bad for me. I've had profiles get banned a bunch of times. And you know, it's to the point where you can't really, they just ban you. They don't even tell you why. You can't contact anybody, it seems like. You can't plead your case to anybody, it seems like. So definitely don't recommend that one. Discord has been good so far, you know. Those are the ones that I'm using at the moment. I focus mostly on YouTube, though. So that's where my bread and butter is.
I've tried to go on Facebook. They slapped me on the wrist before on my page on there. I still have one, but they don't like some of the content I post there. I tried joining a lot of the Facebook groups, because there's like a lot of grow groups. Mm-hmm. And man, I have not signed up to a group and left a group so quickly before. The toxicity in some of those groups, I could not stand, you know? Somebody posts a picture of a plant. They're like, what's wrong with my plant? And you get 50 million replies from people. And some of them are hating on the guy. Some of them are
day with the forum.
It's so crazy, man. It's like so much mixed information and just hate. And same thing with Reddit. Like, haven't really had a good experience. It's just, at least for me, there was negativity, a lot of negativity on there. And it didn't feel like a community. And I don't want to speak it like it's a blanket, right? I'm sure there are good communities out there within Reddit, good subreddits. I know there was one science back one. I think it was like R Bud Science, which had some good information on there. They're really trying to break things down there. But yeah, my experience on those platforms hasn't been that well. Instagram, they're always penalizing people. and they have this review program when you appeal stuff that's automatically automated. I don't even know if real people look at these posts that get appealed and stuff, and you just get shot down and accounts get deleted and then they come back and it's a mess over there. So yeah, I personally haven't had a great experience on some of these other platforms as well. But looking into the future, how do you see gardening content on platforms like YouTube 5 years from now?
I think it could be to the point where cooking you know how you have a bunch of cooking people showing you how to cook and it's a thing and everybody does it. I feel like this has the potential to do the same. I don't know if it's really going to go like that, but this has the potential to do the same. I feel like once home grow is legal, if you consume the plant, I don't see a reason to not get into it yourself and just have like a little tent or something going. You know, like the expenses that you would have to pay to get any grow going pays itself back if you're somebody that consumes already, just by the grows that you're gonna get. So for me, because of that, as long as we, the content creators, keep doing what we're supposed to do and getting people excited about the plant, I feel like we could get more people joining and making it a community, just like the cooking community is, just maybe in a smaller scale. But there's so much business opportunity in what we're doing, so many ways to monetize the channels, that I just don't understand how YouTube is not letting it happen. There's medicinal plant companies that want to actively they want to advertise in our channels. That's a money revenue that, you know, you're not letting us have. You're not letting the company do what they're supposed to do. Why would you get in the way of that? You know, there's so much there that's left on the table right now that I can't wait till that starts happening, where YouTube says, hey, we're going to allow these companies that want to be on your channel to monetize their product on your channel. That's going to be so good. I can't wait for that to happen.
Do you think this space is oversaturated, or do you foresee oversaturation happening in the future?
It's like anything else, you know, just like the cooking thing. We could go right back to that. You know, as a matter of fact, let's take it away from that. I watch a whole bunch of different content creators. So for me, if you love the plant, if you really want to learn, you're going to eat this up. You're going to consume it. You're going to keep wanting that information from as many different people as you could get it. So while, yes, you could have a bunch of people doing it, you're only going to have a certain amount of people that are going to be doing it good. You're only going to have a certain amount of people that are going to be giving quality content, you know, as far as how it looks, how it sounds, and people that you know, that actively trying to find an audience. Not everybody's gonna do that, so I'm not really worried about that. As long as you focus on doing good work, you're gonna find an audience eventually, you know, because it's not like I'm only gonna watch you and then not watch High again, you know, because I watch Terpy Highs, I'm not gonna watch Bill Ward. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to watch everybody. I love it, you know?
I totally get what you mean. Yeah, there are a lot of content creators coming into this space. Some have really good content, starting brand new, starting fresh. Some content isn't so good, but they try. What advice do you have for those that are just getting started creating gardening content?
Just in general, I guess. It doesn't have, you know, not only gardening, but just since I've done so many different types of content, what has always motivated me is showing what I'm excited about. I saw somewhere that if you want to be interesting, you have to be interested. So just show the people what it is that you're interested in. You know, it becomes very easy to put that on camera. If you think that, oh my God, I've never seen this on a plant before, then record that and show me that. That excitement is already there. You already saw it. You don't have to make it up. So for me, the best advice is that, is show me what it is that you're excited about, and I'm gonna connect with you on that same level. And if you could continue to do that through the video, then you have a fan.
I think that's a good advice. And I think for those folks that are looking to start, that haven't started, that feel like they aren't able to start because of equipment. I know I've talked to some people like, oh, I don't have a camera yet. I don't have a DSLR. You know, I don't have a $3,000 camera to get started. You don't need that. A lot of people use their iPhone. You know, you can get away with using your iPhone. You could buy a $15 tripod on the hand and just go around and doing that. Microphones now, for a really good one, you could get a good one for $100, even cheaper than that, on sale. So you can start off with really not spending a whole lot of money. You don't even need the microphone, right? Just your phone. But yeah, you can definitely get started with little to no equipment and still make some good quality content. So I figured that was worthy of mentioning as well.
Yeah, and also I always say to people, start with where you're at with what you have. Like, start from right there. You don't have to buy new running shoes to start running. You know, you don't need the fancy stuff to start doing it. When I started doing comedy, I didn't have anyone to do the skits with me. So what I ended up doing, instead of beating myself up over it or not doing the skits that I wanted to do, is I started dressing up as different people. You know, sort of kind of what I do now in my channel. You know how that transferred over. I would play different characters. I would play my mom. I would play myself, you know, and just set up the cameras and just record myself. That's how I started. Once those videos started going viral, everybody wanted to be in my videos. Famous people wanted to be in my videos. I couldn't get enough people in my videos. So, you know, and it just started because I just didn't have anything else. So you start with where you're at, with the idea. And that forces you, if anything, to be more creative because you don't have the fancy equipment. You got to figure it out. And figuring it out is what's going to make you different. Look at me. Now I'm the one dressing like this because I don't have the people. But now I'm the guy. Now I'm the guy. You know, I made it work. So don't think of your situation as a disadvantage. Think of it as an opportunity to be creative and show who you really are.
Great point. And bring your own style, right? I mean, you have your own style that you brought to the table. You put yourself out there. You didn't copy anybody, right? I think that's people get themselves in this situation where they're trying to copy somebody because they see, oh, somebody else is successful. Well, let me do what they're doing. I've had probably about a half a dozen people copy the way that I do interviews. And that's fine. You know, I appreciate that. I'm humbled that somebody was inspired by my work and wanted to copy the way that I do it. But people quickly quit because it's not them. You know, they're not having fun creating content the way that somebody else is creating content, right? So do what you want to do, your own style, and have fun with it. I think those are good ways to go about it. I mean, geez, you even went to so far to create parody videos, right? You created one on my channel.
Yeah, so that's actually a great segue for that, because you know, the reason I was trying to get on your channel at that point was because of how suppressed you feel in when you're making content and you're putting all these hours and no one's watching your content. So I'm like, man, like this guy has a platform, you know, let me figure out a way to get there. So I just reached out to you, and unfortunately you were booked till next year. and I said, well, you know what? I still want it. And there you go, back to use what you have. I have myself. So I disguised me as you and interviewed me as you. You know, I made it work. I still did what I needed to do. I didn't do it with you, but I still did it. You know, so don't ever let your situation limit you. If you have a great idea, you know it's going to work. Try it out with whatever you have around you. That's going to make it stand out even more. And the cool part about this is that I'm now here with you in real life. You know what I mean? Like with episode 118, the same one, the same number as the parody that I did. I thought that was awesome.
I had to do it. Yeah, I had to do episode 118 because that was what it was in the parody. So I thought that was like fitting for that to happen. But yeah, my list of people, you'd be surprised. There's at least, I say 1 to 2 people per week that reach out to me and want to come on the podcast. And the list I have of potential guests exceeds 200 people now. So yeah, I was booked out for the rest of the year. I felt really bad. I always feel really bad when somebody asks to come on the podcast. And I'm like, I've got such a long list right now. I'm sorry, like maybe in the future type stuff. So yeah, I couldn't get you on at that time, but you got my attention, and you know,
and look, and that worked.
We made it happen.
And it worked out, you know.
Got it done. Oh man, what a great talk. A different talk. I hope the listeners enjoy this. If you enjoy this, definitely click the thumbs up button and leave a comment down below and let us know what you liked about it. You know, should I do something like this in the future? You know, or should I stick to just talking about gardening specific topics? Let me know your thoughts down in the comment section below. Big Daddy Buds, can you tell the listeners how they can find you and kind of what you have upcoming in the future?
For sure. Just on YouTube is my main platform. So just go to YouTube and go to the Grow Under the Stairs and check out the videos that I have over there. If you want somewhere easy to start in season 10, episode 1. This is when I just moved to Alaska. I got dumped in my last season. So I had to move to Alaska. So that's a nice fresh start for me. And that's a nice fresh start from this series. If you want to know how I start my seeds, if you want to know how I start from clone, that starts from zero. So season 10, episode 1, as far as what's coming in the future, I would actually like to do an extra section in my channel with some interviews that just deal with content creation. So I would love it if you guys are listening, if you like this type of content about content creation, to jump over to my channel and see what we're going to do over there. Hopefully I could have you in there as one of the guests. That'd be an honor for me.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I'd love to come on and do that. Yeah, so if you did enjoy this type of content, Big Daddy Bud's going to be making similar type of content in the future. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with in the future. Once again, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it, and hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time.
Peace out, everyone. Catch you in the next episode.